Start a summary report on conversation with Bishop Lakshman Wickramasinghe. The date of this interview or conversation is unclear, probably sometime in November 1967.
Lakshman Wickramasinghe on the 10th December 1967. I remarked that in a conversation I had with I inquired whether his father, C.L. Wickramasinghe, had felt that he was being pushed out of the inner council of the Serenaker group, and that, for instance, he himself, rather than OEG, was the obvious choice for the post of Civil Defense Commissioner. Bishop Lakshman said that he did not think that was so because actually his father had a severe heart attack in 1942 and would not, and that it would have been difficult for DSN and I to use a man in such a condition to the same extent as he did before. In other words, that his illness made it difficult for Sen and I to, that is, that C.L. Wickramasinghe's illness, well, the natural result of C.L. Wickramasinghe's illness was the fact that Sen and I could not put the same load on him. In response to my query, he said that his father had continued to be in service and hung on in service till 1944, when he could carry on longer. And he eventually died of diabetes, etc., in 1945. He added that, however, his mother always felt that OEG disliked C.L.A. Wickramasinghe's influence and position and would have been ready to cut his throat, so to speak. However, that is, he added that his mother felt that DSN Knight was a friend and could be trusted, but not for him. In fact, D.S. had shown his true spirit and friendship not only on the occasion of his father's death, but after, because unlike so many of his peers' lifetime friends, we have continued to visit Mrs. Wickramasinghe and also did his best to help the family. For instance, he got Bishop Lutz's brother into the agriculture department. I say, for that? What? What is that? Thank you. However, Bishop Luck added that he did not think this would, the OAG attitude would have affected the situation, because too shrewd a man to be influenced by come this way. Come that way. That he's a too shrewd man to be that easily influenced. And in any event, another of these then night of close associates and advisors of D.R. Vijayavarma. And D.R. Vijayavarma's daughter married his other brother, Esmond Vikramasinghe, somewhere around 45, in fact, a little before C.A. Vikramasinghe died. Later on, related an episode as to he added a reply to my query. In reply to my query, he said that C.L. Vikramasinghe had his heart attack somewhere around September 1942. Later on, he related an episode pertaining to his brother Esmond's marriage to Vijayavarma's daughter. Apparently, this had been severely opposed by his parents, especially by his mother. Eventually, they had, when his brother wanted to go ahead with this, they had agreed, but said that they were not willing to have a church wedding. His father had said that it would be all right if they had a singhalese wedding, as this is a wedding with Buddhistic features. However, on the last day, his father had come and said that they wanted to have a certain ceremony. Knowing full well that this was part of a Buddhistic marriage practice, his father said, "All right, you can do so, but I won't be coming to the wedding. And neither is your mother." Esmond Vikramasinghe was not stuck, but he was not that tough then, and he had given way. I think he had agreed to this because of pressure from D.R. Vijayavarma, who was tough for himself. And really, Esmond was C.A. Vikramasinghe was quite adamant on this point. And Esmond was out of the depth at this stage in dealing with these tough men at this stage. This clash of between Vijayavarma's point of view and Vikramasinghe's point of view.
Maybe they can go down the line.
clash had been resolved by the intervention of people like D.S. Denmark. In fact, D.S. had come into C.S. house with OEG training behind at 3 o'clock and said that meaning that they could come to the festival now. They were not going to have simple Sinhalese ceremony. His father had, Mr. Sale Vikramasinghe had won both Esmond and Lakshman, that they should never get too involved in the with the Vijayawardena clan, and especially in, keep clear of the of politics and the lake house threats. And Esmond had been able to follow this advice for some time, but eventually had been drawn in because Vijayawardena had called him, appealed to him on the ground that A, his elder son did not have the stuff in him to, did not have it in him to manage the newspapers, and had been disinherited anyway for other results of marriage he had made, and the young son was not yet of age, and therefore he had appealed to Esmond to run the show till then. Of course, after that, Esmond had been drawn into politics and Tammany Hall into the UMP politics and all that it involved. Actually, Bishop Lakshman's description of these incidents arose after I asked him about how Esmond had progressed from Marxism to UNP politics. He said that, of course, in his university days, Esmond had been a keen Marxist worker and working with Doric, come under the influence of the left movement. But in fact, he had taken messages for them in the war years and while he was president of the student union, and worked for them in various ways. Still, D.S. had warned him that putting himself into a serious position and could suffer from it. Bishop Lakshman did not explain this point, but implied that Esmond had been able to drift away from the movement later on. He added that that eventually, sometime after he had moved away from the movement, he had had a big row with Doric Dusarisa. When Doric came to his house, Doric used to bully the rest of the people those under him, and he had this occasion come to Esmond's place and criticized, attacked him about something, and Esmond had told him to get out and that he would have no more to do with the movement. Bishop Lakshman, however, that his brother is still basically Marxist in that his politics is amoral. And based on the principle that the end justifies the means. Thus, he has the same basic affections as the Marxists, only he draws different conclusions. He added that he has heard a lot of stories about the inner life of politics from his brother. New paratypist. Earlier, before relating, before this episode has been related, he emphasized that OEG was the one, was the person who manipulated and directed all the tricks which D has played. That is, OEG was the direct hand behind it, but was the man who did the dirty work. But DS was well aware of what was going on, but kept his hands clean, using people like OEG and SP from senior. He said that his brother had told him the story of how they had broken one strike by bribing one of the union leaders. OEG had paid him 5,000 rupees. I inquired what strike this had been, and he thought it was something to do with the electrical department or municipal electrical department. OEG was a past master at these sort of activities. In 1947, he had frightened the city, that is, city in London, into contributing £100,000 towards the UNP coffers on the ground that Ceylon had to be saved from communism. The city did not know OEG then. But though later they came to know a bit more about his manner, his style of working, and to be more cautious. But on this occasion they fell completely into his trap, into his hand. This sum of money was put into DS's personal account. And later a problem arose, because when DS died, it meant that Dudley controlled it. And Sir John had wanted this transfer to the UN, to the party funds. Dudley had not done so for some time, and there had been a maneuvering and struggle on this issue, but eventually it had been transferred. In fact, when he was High Commissioner in London, OEG had, to act completely unconventionally, had used every bit of pressure to save a friend of Lakshman's, and young Ceylonese about town, of good Ceylonese parentage, who had got into trouble about some car deal. And OEG had pulled the kick. The British were never quite, OEG was somewhat suspect with the British, because all types were found at his house, from jockeys to his nymphs. But whereas Sir Claude Carrère was of the old school and had impeccable companions, OEG's contacts were diverse and very wide. But he was a past master at Wanley. For instance, Sir John used to relate the story of how he had negotiated for the very valuable radio equipment which came to form the basis of Radio Ceylon. he and JR and OIG had been taken under negotiation. And the British had demanded a fairly big sum. And when they insisted, OIG had said, well, do you want to, I'm leaving. And walked out, leaving both JR to, and Sir John to follow him. Whereupon they had quickly called him back and eaten out of his hands. Postscript, my own comment. I should add that the way I heard it, OIG knew that he could win the tougher for this recruitment because the cost of dismantling and transporting it to another country was also quite immense. With reference to I made a comment about the way DS and ICANN are supposed to handle the Soviet Commission and other political issues. And he said, well, he had heard the story of how when a man from Singapore came here and asked how Ceylon had Ceylonized their public services so quickly. Sir John and others had told him that it was simple. In 1931, when DS and others came to power, D.R. Vijayawardena and the Lake House were also a powerful force and at the height of their and I had the height of their influence. Well, at the same time, Oliver Gunsilker had become Auditor General, got an important position in the Auditor General's department. Well, if they wanted to get rid of an European officer, put in like a fellow. OIG used to raise an audit query regarding some of his activities. One of DS's stooges in the State Council, some politician, would then raise an official query in the State Council. The press would see to the rest. Thus the European officers were harried till they left, till they resigned. It was only these chaps like Collins who took everything that was aimed and hurled at them by the British and was ate out of the power group's hands who remained behind. I think he called Collins a sponge. I said I heard a story that Solbury had been bribed by being offered a post of Governor Generalship. He smiled and a little later added, and he was low enough and fool enough to write and ask to remind them about the promise. Sir John had kept this letter, of course, and used this later on. Sir John was like that. He knew what to keep when he fired things away. It was for eventual use. In fact, he added that on one occasion when the British interests were pressing that Sir John Talbot or Sir Ivor Jennings should act for Salisbury when he went to leave, rather than the Tamil Chief Justice, Attorney General. Sir John had not allowed them to had allowed them to get away with this. Collett had had a beautiful cartoon showing Sir John with a real Nate Tamil in tow, walking over a carpet which was Salisbury, while one found Ivor Jennings and Sir John Talbot peeping from behind flower pots somewhere in the background. Sir John was like that tough man, and he did not look any interference with Selene's dead position. He said that he had learned a lot about the senior side of politics from his brother. He called it Tammany Hall politics. Many of the incidents related above implied were examples of this sort of activity. In fact, he asked me whether I had heard the story about C.P. D'Souza, and I said no. He said, well, in the manoeuvres to bring the SLFP, LSFP government down, a premiership had been promised to C.P. In fact, his brother Esmond had been acting as negotiator between Dudley and J.R. on the one hand and C.P. Group. And the premiership had definitely and distinctly been offered to C.P. And in fact, the fact that C.P. was going to desert his party had been had been agreed on from quite early on. The question was the timing, namely when they could bring the government down. The final climax leading to leading to the cross and downfall of the government had been precipitated by the dismissal of Amaravan's of a Buddhist priest called something or other Amaravansa, who was a Salagama man. He had been holding some post in some teaching institute and not been doing any work, and the government had quite rightly dismissed it. But this was taken, and the Salagama cast are quite close, and this had been the final breaking point. Leading to the cross over, but it had been a close thing and had been dependent on the breakdown of one MP's car and so on and so forth. But the point was that it was understood that C.P. would be Prime Minister, and Dudley was determined to hold by this agreement. However,